tonight on the Discovery Channel, 9 o'clock, the premiere of Bering Sea Gold. And these are treasure hunters who hunt for treasure in a very interesting, difficult, and complicated way, but the rewards can be huge. They do it by dredging up there in the Bering Sea, and we're quite happy now to welcome Emily Riedel. She is a skipper of one of those dredgers. And Emily, how does this work? You go down there. I mean, you're going into the Bering Sea. You got to cut through like 4 feet of ice. How in the world do you get gold out of that?
Hey, Rick. Thanks for having me on the show. I really appreciate it. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we have to cut through, 4 to 6 feet of ice in order to get to the water, much less even begin to try to dredge for gold. So we cut a hole in the ice and, stick our equipment through the ice and try to hope that we're on a good spot with a good deposit of gold. Because if we're not, then we just cut a massive hole in the ice and pulled out tons and tons of ice for no reason whatsoever, except for some nice exercise.
Well, I sit here in our studios. We're right here on San Francisco Bay, and we have dredgers. But what they do is they just clear out silt and mud. So for the shipping shipping lane. So once you pull that in, how do you, shift through it and find your golden nuggets?
Right. Well, our dredgers work in a similar way. I mean, the dredgers out in the harbor that you're speaking of, they're reaping material and then running it out in a different location to increase depth. And we're sucking up material, but we run it up through a sluice box instead, and the sluice box stratifies the lighter and the heavier materials. It leaves the heavier materials at the top, the gold, black iron sands, crushed garnet, and that kind of thing. And that basically, enables us to catch most of the gold that we find on the ocean floor. And a lot of the lighter stuff that isn't worth anything goes back into the ocean.
Well, the name of your boat, and forgive me, when I looked at it, I thought it was called the Erotica. It's the
That's a common mistake.
The Eroica?
The Eroica. It's the Eroica. Italian. It means hero.
Oh, and, Erotica. Eroica.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a nerd. I'm a classical music nerd. It's my major in college. I have a bachelor's in music, and I'm an opera enthusiast, opera singer, and I named it after Beethoven's Third Symphony, the Eroica.
So you can go out there and do a little "Oh Sole Mio" while you're out there.
Oh, all the time.
Well, Emily, you're 26 years old, and I know you come from a family that does this. And when I watch the clips of you, it seemed like you got a little chip on your shoulder, like people are pointing at you, saying good luck, and you say you're going to be laughing all the way to the bank. Do you have a little attitude?
Oh, I'm sure that I have a lot of attitude and a lot of things up there. It's a harsh environment. You're kind of fighting to stay alive at the very worst, and at the very best, you're fighting with other people who are trying to, trying to ruin you or mess with your operation in some way. I've had a lot of challengers along the way. It wasn't easy, becoming a captain or a skipper, as it were. It wasn't easy surviving Nome, and it's definitely, made me tough in some ways and made me put a chip in my shoulder in others.
Speaking with Emily Riedel, skipper of the Eroica, Bering Sea Gold, premiering tonight at 9 o'clock on the Discovery Channel. Nome, Alaska, I've always heard growing up, and I'm a lot older than you, but you couldn't get there by road. You had to fly in on a Cessna, a seaplane. You had to take a boat. Just how isolated is Nome?
Yeah, it's definitely, it's in northwest Alaska below the Arctic Circle, and there are a lot of villages equally isolated around Nome, but there are no roads to Nome. You can only get there by air or sea, and so it's remote. It's extremely cut off from the rest of the world, and that affects you after a while. It's kind of a no man's land. There are no rules there. It's absolute freedom. And that sounds very nice to most people. Absolute freedom has a lot of consequences, and people aren't really reeled in there. It's kind of do whatever you want to survive. Do whatever you can to survive, and that isn't always pleasant.
Well, Emily, when I used to work with a woman who had worked in Alaska, and she said, the ratio of men to women is overwhelming. It's like 8 men to every 1 woman. But she said, the way she put it was, the odds are good, but the goods are odd. So
yes, you're absolutely correct.
You would agree with that? I guess it's a different kind of, I mean, you got to be an outdoorsman. You're not going to see too many shrinking violets in Alaska, right?
Well, there are shrinking violets everywhere, even in Alaska. I mean, it's definitely, that doesn't make you tough to move there. A lot of people think they're tough and they go to Alaska and they realize shortly that they're incorrect. They should probably go back to wherever they're from, the lower 48. But, Alaska's definitely not my dating pool. Let's just say that.
Well, you know what? And the thing is, I know that this is reality. I know it's not staged, but there is a clip of your dad talking about how fired up he is and how well you're going to do. And while he's talking, part of your boat blows up and catches on fire. What the heck was that? Was that a fuel tank?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for... Oh, yeah. Well, that was happy memories. My outboard motor caught on fire. The fuel pump had been crushed the previous year when I hadn't owned the dredge, and unbeknownst to me, the fuel pump had been crushed. So as soon as we tried to fire it up, of course, it caught fire, and we had a fire extinguisher in hand, thankfully. Actually, I think my dad had to rush me a fire extinguisher because the one we had on the boat didn't work, of course. And we put it out. It was not a good start to that dredging season. My first boat launch as a captain it went up in flames.
A couple more questions for Emily Rydell of the Eroica. Last summer, when you first struck gold, describe that feeling, because, I mean, we all have had metal detectors on the beach, but putting your heart and soul into it and getting that gold, what was that like?
Yeah, well, it was striking gold as a dredge captain was a completely different experience. It was exhilarating. It felt like the rewards had finally come after a lot of pain and struggle. And that's been essentially known. It's been more or less constant struggle. And to finally see it pay off and to finally see some gold is quite extraordinary. I think I cried, but, I never cry there, ever.
Well, I would imagine it's probably, and forgive me if I'm wrong, but the whole thing about gender equity, because in Alaska, if you have a tough skipper, some guys might say, yeah, he's a pain in the butt, but he's the skipper, and he's running the ship the way he wants. But then if you do it, maybe someone goes, oh, she's just a big B-word. I mean, do you get a lot of the sexism up there?
Sexism, I mean, it's up there. It's present, of course, in a field dominated by men. But I've always tried to forget about sexism, which is at times difficult. But my main focus is, if I am competent and that I'm hardworking and if I'm a good skipper and if I treat my crew well and I bring them, I motivate them towards making money and bringing in gold, then they'll treat me like an equal. And that's what I focus on. I'm not, if they're already prejudiced against me because I'm a woman, that's just one more barrier to overcome, obstacle to overcome. And I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that obstacle because them is nothing but obstacles.
All right.
The fact that I'm a woman, it's just another additional obstacle to
Just two more questions for you. Of the other boats, and my favorite name is the Misnomer, but of the other boats, mm-hmm. who would you say is your rival and who is your ally? Or are they all rivals?
They've all been rivals at some point. That's okay. I would say that the Misnomer, Glenn of the Misnomer and I, we're comrades up there. I would definitely say that. My rival boat... It's not always productive to have enemies in the gold mining business. It's a very small business.
Well, not to interrupt you, isn't the Misnomer skipper, isn't that your ex?
No.
No.
Hence why we're comrades.
Okay.
No, the Misnomer skipper, he is not my ex, as it were. He my ex, Zeke, did work with him. Is working with him during ICE.
I see.
Yes, he is affiliated, but it's a big bet up there, and we're all in it with each other at some point. I mean, not literally with the men of the men, but maybe I don't know what goes on behind closed doors.
Well, Emily, this is just a sneak peek into how your private life is now shattered. Here I am, a total stranger, knowing your ex is working on the Misnomer. Are you ready, not just for the attention, but the stardom? And let me just tell you, because I work. I cover a baseball team, the Oakland A's, and when I had a couple of the Deadliest Catch skippers on, I went to the Coliseum, and all anybody wanted to talk to me about was, I can't believe you got to talk to that guy. You're going to be You're going to be a big star. Are you ready for that?
I don't even know what that really even means. I mean, I work in Alaska most of the year, so stardom has no effect on me whatsoever, if that's going to be the case. I'm glad that people are fans of the show. I'm glad that people can connect with what we're doing up there and can kind of witness it for themselves. That makes me happy. I mean, the thing that makes me the most happy is that I will tell you the story if I have time, a very short story. A woman came up to me the other day with terminal throat cancer and gave me a hug and said that I inspire her. And that's kind of what I try to focus on. A lot of the other parts of it are ugly and beautiful, and they are what they are, but as long as that's happening, then everything else is perfectly acceptable.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't look for it, but you are a role model now, and you sound like you got a great head on your shoulders, and this is in your blood from your dad on down. So, Emily, I can say without a doubt, you are my favorite captain. The Eroica is my favorite dredger. Best of luck with this show. I want to remind everybody it premieres tonight at 9 o'clock on the Discovery Channel. It's called Bering Sea Gold. All the other dredgers stink. The Eroica rocks.
Amen to that.
All right. Thank you very much. Best of luck. I'm Rick Tittle. Come on back.